This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Welcome to The Missing Link, everyone. I'm your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the cosmopolitan, Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you today?
I am awesome, Sean. How are you?
Oh, I am fantastic, as always, and I'm especially excited about the show today. Now, when we started the year, I talked a lot about this idea that the focus of our show is to really deep dive into some topics that we covered in 2015. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one of the things that we have not done a good job of, and I'm going to apologize to our audience now, we have really been fairly egotistical about this show. And I don't mean me. I mean the focus of our content.
Yep.
Because, Micah, you know how many people listen to this show outside of the United States?
A lot. How many? Do we know?
At least 30% of our audience is outside of the United States. Yep. And yet so much of our programming, so much of the things we talk about have to deal with the English language and how we do it here in America as if we're the end-all be-all of everything. And we're not.
I'm sorry. We're sorry.
So I thought for this show, we should dedicate an episode to what it is like using LinkedIn in a foreign language, how to use it if your native language is not English. What do you think?
Genius.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of fun. And here's the thing, though. If you are in the United States, this is why you're going to want to listen to this show as well, because there are huge amounts of opportunity
absolutely
available to you worldwide. The internet has flattened the globe, right? We're on a flat earth right now.
Right.
We can do business as easily in Texas as you can in the UK, right? Or if you're in Mexico, you can do business in the United States, right, because the internet has democratized access. And so if you are here in the US, I want you to start thinking about those opportunities that may exist for you outside of this country. And if you're outside the US, you're going to love it, because now we're going to go through and talk about stuff that matters to you in your country and how you can use LinkedIn both in English and in your native tongue. Does that make sense, Micah?
Absolutely.
So I am excited for this, and we have an expert who's joining us from the UK to do it. So I want you to stay tuned. And also, Micah, as we always say to our audience, our show exists for them, and the best way they can participate in this show and the best way that we can derive good, valuable content for the show is by people participating in our super secret LinkedIn group.
Exactly. It is phenomenal. We're almost at 450 members right now, and we would love for you to join us all over the globe, the flattened globe.
Flat Earth, not flattened globe. Flat Earth.
Flat Earth. Be with us. So if you're in America, in the continental United States, you'll pick up your mobile device and you will text us at 41411. The keyword there will be my link. Take out the space. And if you're outside of the continental United States and you'll love this show, you will email us at missinglink@rainmaker.fm.
And you know what, folks? It's really super simple to do that. And again, this show is all about the audience. And in this episode, we're going to focus in on the international features of LinkedIn and do it with an expert who is joining us all the way from the United Kingdom. So stay tuned.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. And as promised, we have our international expert for LinkedIn on the show. Micah, will you introduce our guest, please?
I'm so excited to let you guys hear from Mark White, who's, it looks like when I'm looking at his LinkedIn profile, it's like all things LinkedIn. So I'm going to call him the LinkedIn professional with, you know, between searching and training and workshops and public courses. So welcome, Mark White, to the show.
Thank you for coming, inviting me. Pleasure to be here.
Of course. And Mark, will you let our audience know where you are actually located right now for this interview?
I'm based in, I would say sunny London, but it's absolutely raining cats and dogs here. So I'm in London, and looking forward to shall we say, some sunny time online here.
Wait a minute. You can't use the word sunny and English weather together. I'm sorry. You just can't do that, Mark.
I'm trying to wipe away some of those sort of thoughts that people have, but I'm afraid they're all true, really. So.
Too funny. Well, Mark, thank you for being on the show again. And the reason that we really wanted you is, as we mentioned before, a big part of our audience is international. They are certainly using LinkedIn and to build their business. And most of the time, that seems to be concentrated in English, right? Whether it's the Queen's English or good old, you know, a messed up American English. And the simple fact is that there are reasons why you should not just focus on English. And so let's start with that. Let's start with this concept that, look, LinkedIn is huge across the world, and there are people that are predominantly communicating in English, but that's not the only method they communicate, is that there are other languages and they're communicating those languages. So why should marketers in general be concerned with the internationalization, if you will, of LinkedIn?
Well, it's a fair question. I don't know. I suppose I've already got a bias. I mean, I was a language student for many years, going back a few years, has to be said. But I remember very clearly when we were doing our courses and we were looking at business and why we were learning languages in the first place, that there was a German minister. So it was a German minister for business. And he said, look, if you want to sell if we're going to sell to you, then we are naturally going to sell to you in your language. So we're going to talk to you in English. You want to sell to us, though, you want to sell to us in German, and you're going to get so much further. And for me, that's always stayed with me. And I think it's a real crux of, you know, the international business I've done subsequently. I want to sell to someone. I'm going to make myself as accessible as possible to them, and that includes their language.
And that's a unique challenge, especially because where you are in the UK, you obviously do business with the continent. In your case, that would be Europe, let's, you know.
Yeah.
And so talk to us a little bit about what you teach your clients about internationalization. Granted that they're, primarily a UK or American audience that are trying to communicate in places like France, Germany, the Netherlands, Australia, heck, even in Asia, which is a whole different set of challenges. How do you advise your clients in general when it comes to this approach?
It depends so much, because, you know, each company has a different way of working. So, you know, some of them will be either UK or US based, and they're just looking for contacts there. So they're using LinkedIn, and perhaps the bit of the international side is the search. So they're going to be sort of searching for the right people to talk to, because they're going direct to those people in the country. So we look at, what are they calling themselves? We're looking at the country-specific search on the advanced search, and that's one great thing. Others, of course, they will have partners in the countries.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be working with those partners. They'll be supplying them with material, information, marketing, sales opportunities, and they'll be working with them. And then, such as currently, I'm working with a couple of US companies who have local sales teams. At that point, each of the different countries have their own challenges. So what I tend to encourage is, yes, have a consistency of message, have a coherence there, continue the branding, but do remember that you have the opportunity then to translate, not just in language terms, but also in different media for the local market. So try and think of it in both of those terms. Work in English by all means, but do think about the local language and the local requirements on the back of that.
And I think that's so important, Mike. I mean, think about it. I mean, there is a giant world of opportunity once you think outside of the border of your country, right? And since, you know, quite frankly, we're egotistical Americans, we think there's America and everybody else. And the reality is that there are case study after case study of people doing business in the United States who are reaching outside of their borders and finding a whole new world of opportunity out there. I mean, think about it. I mean, Germany is a vibrant economy. The UK is a vibrant economy. Austria, Italy, France, these are all great economies. And that doesn't even touch the surface of when you think of China and their different languages, and Japan and the other Asian countries. So the moment that you say, you know what, there may be connections in a different point of the world that I could build, then I think it just opens up a whole new realm of possibilities. Don't you, Micah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I wish I spoke another language. Right? I'm thinking, you know, how is this affecting the English speakers of our, you know, using LinkedIn as well?
Yeah, let's talk about that, Mark, because that's a really good point. Because granted, while we have a big part of our audience that is international, I would say that a lot of our audience are here sitting in the U.S. and they're thinking about maybe going into another country, whether it's to form a partnership with a business to find potential connections in that country. So let's talk a little bit about how you would be advising that, you know, American-centric small business and going out to these different countries using LinkedIn as the platform. What's kind of the thing that you would start with?
I think it's the same as I'd sort of recommend anyone to use LinkedIn anyway, that you start with the profile.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's your message, there's your brochure. If it's still a CV, then either you're looking for a job or you're using LinkedIn wrong, in my opinion. So the profile needs to communicate to the audience that you want to talk to. And it needs to communicate as a sales and marketing document, as a business card, if you like, not as a resume or a CV.
Now, can you have profiles in different languages? I mean, here's the thing. I have a profile on LinkedIn, right? And trust me, it's all in English because that's what I write. So can you have a different profile for me? You know, just use me as an example. Can I have a different profile, let's say, if I want to do business in Germany?
Absolutely. If you wanted to do so. In other words, you can set up your profile and it remains still your profile, but it's like a stack of cards behind it. Mm. In other words, if you go onto your profile, you'll find there's a big button in the middle of the top section. There's a pull down arrow next to it. One of the menu items is create your profile in another language.
Ah.
And it then takes you through to a screen where you can actually set up, right, want to do it in Spanish, in which case, right, what's your headline? Now we can put in the different text for your summary. We can put in the job experiences. So you can actually create these different versions of your profile. And then if someone has selected Spanish as their preferred language or they are looking at it through a Spanish browser, LinkedIn should show them the Spanish version of the profile automatically.
Oh my gosh. I mean, think about it, Mike. I mean, look at Brazil. I'm glad you use Spanish because, you know, here, being in Texas and then the south of the U.S., you know, Mexico, and of course, you have Portuguese in Brazil. You have, of course, all the countries in Latin America and South America. So again, I mean, the world opens up. And here's the thing though, Mark, if I do that, if I go in and I say, and I'll just use Mexico as a simple example, I want something in Spanish. Does LinkedIn translate it for me, or do I need to get a translator to do the actual work?
I'm going to say, thankfully, as a language student, LinkedIn does not translate it for you. believe you me, I've seen some translations. And again, I remember we did one once. It was we translated out of sight, out of mind into Russian. And then back to English, and it came back as a blind maniac. We don't want to rely on computers for this. We need to be getting someone. If you want to do it properly and get a speaker in to translate it, I'm afraid.
And do you find that cost to be prohibitive? Do you find that there are online services that can help in that?
No, there's as with everything online now, you have a variety of opportunities and sources. So clearly the good ones are still going to cost you, but what's the cost of actually making a good first impression, getting that first foothold in the country? So it's not, you know, thousands of dollars, thousands of pounds, but you're not going to be talking about £2.50 either. So somewhere in the middle.
And for those in America, a pound is like our dollar. As I said, Mark, you're fighting the stereotype of it's an American world.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I should be more multicultural here. Yeah. So.
Hey, you didn't use Euro, so there you go.
I love it.
So I get this now. So let's go through. So basically, as a quick recap, there are opportunities in doing business in other countries. If you want to pursue those opportunities in earnest, then LinkedIn allows you that opportunity because in this particular case, you can, in your current profile, create up another profile, which is linked to your current profile that uses a language that is not English. So that if you hire someone, they can translate your work and put it into your existing profile as a different language version of it. Did I say that correct, Mark?
Yep, I'll go along with that. And it sits there, as I said, as this series of profiles behind it. It is still your profile. It's still one profile, but as you go onto it, you'll find that there's an opportunity in the top right-hand corner. It'll say, do you want to view this in a different language? If it exists, up it comes, and you'll be able to see it. So you can switch it back to English anytime as a viewer, But if you have a language preference, then that should automatically be shown to you.
And the cost will be just a few quid, just to use an English term on you.
Sorry, beautifully put.
I want to chime in here. Louisa Chan helped us with this when she was on that panelist, and she also said that you can have multiple. So I think that, you know, she did Mandarin and Malaysian or whatever. Right. So do you know how many different languages you can put your profile page in? I think maybe it was 7.
You see now that's something I really should have checked before. And no, it's more than that. I've seen them with up to 20.
20.
Multiple.
And this again, if you're thinking about that, we live in a very flat earth, to use a term, right? I mean, in the sense that everyone, because of the internet, can do business online. And the cost is relatively low to take your profile and translate it into a multiple language. And LinkedIn makes it easy to do that. That's a huge benefit, because it now says I can present myself to a foreign audience in their language, which they will appreciate, right? And in doing so, I can now start a conversation with a strong profile. Love that. But there's more to that, is there not, Mark, than just the profile? Because the profile is the baseline, right?
I mean, your personal profile for me is always going to be key, because, you know, we're chatting, I will look you up.
Right.
I may either look up the company afterwards, or I may look at the website, but it's you first and foremost. So that's my start point. However, the other main sort of foundation block, if you like, is the company page for me. Mm-hmm. And again, the company page, we've got a lot of branding going on there. We've got a lot of messaging. But that key part is the company overview and the name of the company. As it happens, you can also create that in multiple languages.
Mm.
So as a company admin, you'd go in there, edit right at the top. It says, what do you want to optimize? Which language do you want to optimize this in? Choose your new language, and you have the option to put a different company name in and a different company overview, which is now 2,000 characters. So you can now display that. And again, someone with a preference for Spanish or French or German, if that language exists, that will automatically be shown to them. So we have a static element there as well.
You know, Mike, this is what I really like about it, because think about it. If someone takes the time to do that, to actually translate, you're going to know that they're in the U.S., right? But they're taking the time to translate, to communicate to you in your native language. That is absolutely huge. I mean, gosh, you know, the Germans already are doing it. The people that are, you know, in Italy and France and Mexico, I mean, they're already translating things to English. And it shows a sign of reciprocity, of respect, right? Is that I respect you enough that I will take the time to communicate with you in your language, both in by adding additional information to my profile in your language, by creating a company page. Heck, Mark, you can even do it for showcase pages, right?
Can't do the multiple because there's very little text on a showcase page. Now you've got 200 character maximum. I mean, unfortunately, and LinkedIn frustrates me a little bit like this. I imagine that in previous conversations, you've had the same commentary come back, but the products and services page, which used to exist as part of the company page, but was abandoned, 18, 19 months ago, that gave you the chance to do lots more stuff. Now, the showcase pages are still good, but certainly what you could do, instead of creating showcase pages for brands or particular products, why not create them for particular languages?
Mm.
Or work multinationally, then why not create them for your offices or your subsidiaries or whatever it may be, so that, again, you have something which is connected to your main company page but relevant to the audience that you want to reach out to.
All right, so let's recap real quick. So you can do that with your profile. You can take your existing profile, add on translated versions of your profile very quickly as a stack of cards, to use your analogy. I can also, of course, in the company profile itself, create up multiple language versions of that. And when it comes to the showcase pages, creating up individual pages that are not tied to brand or product, but are really tied to the language or the country that you're focusing on.
That would be a way to manage that. And you've got 10 automatically for free. LinkedIn generally will give you some more if you ask for them nicely.
All right.
But you have one extra element on top of that all, which is the updates that you put out from the company page.
Now, let's stop for just a second, because you're absolutely right. I really want to dive into this. So let's make sure we're clear on company updates, or just updates in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that in the features of LinkedIn, you really have the option of putting in three different types of updates as an individual. You have your status update. This is what's going on. Usually you're sharing links or content of that nature. You can upload a photograph or you can do a post, right? So an update is those three: status update, a image, or a post. Okay, that's what I want to focus on, because there is, I want to know about the nuances of each one of those three, especially when we get down to posts. So let's talk about updates in the terms of those three.
So each of those you are putting out, as you rightly say, either commentary, a link through to an alternative site where you will have an image. If it's pulled it through from the page, you'll have a headline and you'll have some text that's pulled from the page. The image I like. I think that's the one that's sort of getting most traction on LinkedIn at the moment. And you can actually use an animated GIF now as well to bring it to life. So you actually have a sort of mini video. Annoying for some people, but if you use it nicely, then it really attracts attention because, of course, it's moving.
Only if Micah does it and it's a cat. That's the only time it's annoying. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
No. I was thinking then we've got YouTube, of course. You could link that and have the video auto-playing, and there's cats galore on YouTube. So in your element, Micah.
I love it.
Go ahead, Mark.
In each of those cases, I guess, if you send it out from you as an individual, so it's you're on your homepage of LinkedIn and it goes out, then you can either just send it out to everyone or send it out to everyone plus Twitter. If you send it from a company page, however, it goes out to the followers of the company page. That's a great audience. That's like building up your, if you like, your email list. LinkedIn gives you the opportunity to target it to specific audiences.
Okay.
And one of the triggers, if you like, is either country or region within country, or now language preference.
Different than the individual, right? Because the individual, which was the three updates we talked about, a company update, you have more targeting capability than you do as an individual. Am I hearing you correctly?
That's correct. You've got exactly the same elements in terms of the types of updates you can put out, but you do have that extra layer in there, which is a targeting capacity, but only on the company pages.
Now that brings up a great point, because a lot of people debate the efficacy of having a company page, especially if you're a small business. But now you have just given, again, a valuable reason why you should have a company page, even if you're small, because if you are out there communicating with a worldwide audience, the ability to put updates through the company profile, not the individual, the company profile, those updates now have that language targeting component embedded in the company update, which again can help you build your follower account for the company, not the individual, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Wow.
I'm a great fan of company pages anyway, but yes, for me, that's another element. I grant you, small companies, do they have that capability? I don't know, but small companies grow into big companies. So I think that's important. And LinkedIn's tried to make it a little bit more sort of clever on the back of that as well, because if I, with my preference as English, look at a company page, I will see all the generic stuff and I will see anything that has been targeted either for English or for my country. However, if you target something, so I say I'm putting something out and I only want this to appear in front of Spanish speakers, then when it gets pushed out, if I, as an English speaker, look at the page, I will not see that update. If I look at it as a Spanish speaker or from a Spanish country, I will see that update. So now within one single page, we actually have different versions of the updates going out, which allows us to target those different audiences again.
Actually, because again, as a company page, it's more of a focused company effort, right? So you can put the resources of translation behind it. Let's talk about the individual. Should an individual on their personal updates, be it, you know, status update, an image they upload or post, should they be also trying to be thinking about that as well, putting in that updates as a, on a personal level in a unique language? Or is it going to just miff all of their followers who are following them in their native language?
My personal opinion there is that because the targeting doesn't allow it within LinkedIn, I would stick to English. I see couple of my colleagues, if you like, in terms of LinkedIn trainers, there's two or three really good ones in Holland who put out updates in Dutch. I can't read them, so I prefer for them. So therefore, immediately I'm thinking, okay, that's good. It's still good that there's engagement there, but it's not for me. So I personally think that the English were going to take the majority decision on that. But, and this is where I would encourage again, if you've got local representatives within certain countries, get them to tag their connections. And if they tag their connections now, they can, although it's not going on the homepage as an update, they can send them into their inbox by sending it to tagged groups of connections. So now we can again use our personal profiles and our personal connection list and still push the right content and the language-specific content to them.
Wow. Great advice, Mark. Absolutely great advice. So let's go through and just end on Pulse, okay? So, you know, we did a whole series about publishing to Pulse, and a lot of content marketers are aggressively using the Pulse network to either syndicate their content or to create up unique content for that environment. What are some of the guidelines, rules, things that our audience should know about using LinkedIn Pulse for posting information in another language?
Really, the same rules apply as they would elsewhere. The fact is you can't, unfortunately, make the initial post either country or language specific. In other words, it goes out and the notification goes to, and this is where we get into difficulties. It used to be to all of your connections. Now it seems it's only a partial number of your connections, although 2 days ago it went back to being most of your connections again. Joy to LinkedIn. Love it. Keeps me in business, I suppose. However, you could, if you wanted to, get, if not from one person, maybe from two or three different ones, and actually get an initial post, which has been put out in English, translated. And now, again, someone within the country, and I think that's really how it has to be, rather than try a generic one, put it out, but change the image. Because now on your profile, of course, right at the top, you've got the posts. Change the imagery there, or change the content you have. So we've actually got something in the language in a visual way, which then leads you into the content itself. Mm. And as ever, make sure that you've got those calls to action based in your Pulse article.
Exactly. Yeah,
push them off LinkedIn. I mean, ultimately, that's where we want them.
Exactly.
So, same process.
Mark, I cannot thank you enough for first staying up late to do the interview with
us. Thank you. So yes.
Thank you for that. Secondly, for the amount of advice and insight that you have shared in this, because I really do believe that if you are looking outside of your immediate area, if you're looking for opportunities, then the world is your platform to look at, right? I mean, it has a huge amount of opportunities waiting there, because certainly there's expertise that you have that someone in a foreign country may appreciate. If nothing else, maybe they want some help for penetrating the America or the country that you happen to be in. So at the end of the day, this works both ways, whether it's in English or some other language, it still works. And I can't thank you enough, Mark, for sharing this absolutely, absolutely great information.
Yep.
So, Mark, how do people get in touch with you if they want to know more or having challenges with their internationalization on LinkedIn?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn, actually. I'm on LinkedIn. Mark White obviously is a little bit difficult. There's thousands of us. But if you put Mark White LinkedIn, then you'll probably find me. Alternatively, you can get me at linkedtraining.net. So I've got obviously a website which outlines all of the things that I offer. Or on Twitter at LinkedIn Guys. And I'd be delighted to hear from anyone through any of those media.
Mark, thank you again for your time. And for everyone, thank you for listening to this edition of The Missing Link. And as always, if you're outside the continental United States, don't forget that we still have that awesome group for you at missinglink@rainmaker.fm. And of course, we also, if you're in the continental United States, have that group accessible on your cell phone at 41411 with the keyword MyLink, all one word. Mark, thank you again. And for all of our audience, we shall see you next time on The Missing Link.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.